Galvano spoke at the Associated Press's annual legislative planning session.
There is an opportunity for sports betting in the state of Florida. It's an activity that is occurring, just not regulated, and we are not collecting and sharing revenues from that activity. So that's another area where we will be focused.
One attorney who keeps an eye on the industry is weighing in. Mark Dunbar is a partner with the Dean Mead Law Firm in Tallahassee and an adjunct professor of gambling law at Florida State University. He spoke with WFSU about the prospect of legal sports gambling in Florida and the way he feels it would be best implemented.
At the AP legislative preview a couple days ago, Bill Galvano, Senate president, was saying, actually, I'll just read you verbatim from his quote. He says, you know, we're operating in a different world post-constitutional amendments, obviously talking about Amendment 3. And he says there's an opportunity for sports betting in Florida. The first thing I wanted to ask you, and I don't know how closely you followed Amendment 3, I think it would be valuable for listeners to lay out Amendment 3 and sports gambling, how those two things coincide or don't, because I understand that Amendment 3 didn't cover sports gambling.
Well, Amendment 3 arguably presents the question as to whether it covers sports gambling or not. And there are two schools of thought. There's a narrative out there that says because it speaks to casino gambling traditionally found in casinos, and that casinos across the country, with the exception of Las Vegas, do not offer sports gambling, is it therefore inferred that casino gambling refers to sports gambling? Separate and apart from that, there's a cross-reference to the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act and the definitions thereunder, which specifically do include sports gambling. So you have a conflict between the provisions of Amendment 3, and it's one of the many things that when I argued to the Supreme Court that Amendment 3 had some ambiguities and some misleading aspects, this was one of the things that we discussed. The court ruled that it wasn't required to resolve those ambiguities. And so all of us in the industry knew that ultimately the boundaries of Amendment 3 were going to be determined by the next Supreme Court when it was named.
So Amendment 3 passes. We've got state lawmakers at the highest level talking about taking action on sports gambling. Is the general idea to move sports betting into casinos in Florida, in your opinion?
That's what the special interests are advocating without question. Whether or not that's the best solution for Florida to have sports wagering be at the existing gambling venues is a legitimate policy question. But I can tell you from an industry standpoint, if you just look what sports gambling is, forget Amendment 3 and forget the special interest narrative in Florida, what sports gambling is in Las Vegas right now is a casino amenity, much like a show or a good restaurant. There's not a lot of money to be made on sports gambling, and it's important for all the listeners and all the policymakers to realize there is not a significant pot of tax revenue to be generated from sports gambling in Florida, particularly if you do it in a model where it just goes to the existing gambling facilities as they currently are located and only at those gambling facilities. It will not be a windfall to the state in any way, shape, or form from tax revenue. Instead, what Vegas has done is it has recognized that people travel to Vegas to engage in sports gambling, but what they really make their money on is the hotel nights, the show tickets, and the restaurants during the big sporting event periods, Super Bowl, March Madness, etc. For Florida to truly have success around the model, they need to look at the success that Vegas experienced and treat it like it is a tourist amenity, and then allow it to be deployed in a way where tourists and Florida residents are able to enjoy the benefits.
So to put some of that in context, it sounds like the $300 million or so that the state clears from the Seminole Compact, that would not be the case with sports betting.
If they tried to deploy sports wagering without the tribe participating, it would fail because it would do two things. One, in the tribe, you have one of the best gambling operations in the entire world, and that's not a debatable point. So you're going to cut out one of the best gambling operations that is out there. That's foolish. Secondly, however, you are going to invalidate the roughly $400 million a year that's projected to come in under the existing compact if you do not include the Seminole tribe in a sports wagering solution. in my opinion, the tribe has to be front and center in the discussion. What is it that they would like to see on a, in terms of a sports wagering platform? Are you going to give them exclusivity, or are they going to be one of the hubs in a hub and spoke format? Those are all essentially policy decisions, but if you care at all about protecting that recurring $400 million revenue stream that's out there, you have to start with the tribe. And frankly, all gambling issues have to start with the tribe, because the tribe does have a compact that guarantees them certain level of exclusivity on product.
I know that some other states recently, at least Rhode Island that I know of, opened up sports betting. And I would imagine that you keep your eye on these kind of things. Do you find it to be a net positive for states to do this?
The best example that I would encourage everybody to look at is Mississippi. Mississippi went live on sports wagering in the early part of the football season. And it has been a success story because they implemented it around an amenity product for their existing casinos, which are in and of themselves geared around being tourist destinations. And so you, what you saw is the slot machine play was up. You saw that the other gambling offerings at those casinos were up, and sports wagering supplemented the revenue as opposed to cannibalize the revenue, particularly during the football season. Mississippi implemented it much like what I'm discussing, which is they said, okay, we're going to put it where we want people to travel, and we're going to try and be a regional tourist destination for the activity, and it was very successful. And so if you implement it that way, you can have some success. But the difference between Mississippi and maybe, say, Pennsylvania and the way they're going, Pennsylvania is actually going to also include the mobile option. And that they're looking to Europe, and which is where I'm going next week to speak. And they're looking at how can we really try and drive additional revenue by taking advantage of the successes in more mature jurisdictions over the season. They're looking at the interactive in-game market. And I suspect it'll be very successful when they implement that in Pennsylvania, provided they don't overtax it.